Okay, hi everyone. This is the Java Art and Swing Seminar. How was the quiz this morning or this afternoon? You guys tired or? Okay, in any case, quick show of hands. How many of you taken AP Comp Sci before or programmed in Java? Okay, so we'll try to spend a little bit less time going over actually how Java works and more on the graphics. Okay, so basically what I'm going to talk about today is Java has this very nice library called Swing and Aut, or AWT, which stands for the Abstract Windowing Toolkit. And so using this library, you can set up graphical applications very easily. And so mostly I'll be going over exactly how to do that today. So a few things about Java first. One of the things that's nice about coding in Java is that, well, if you're familiar with C, which is what you've been coding in a lot this course, then it's Java, the syntax-wise, is almost identical to C, as we'll see. It has almost all the same stuff, but it generally has all of the most painful parts removed. So this includes there's no explicit notion of a pointer in Java. It's just that different objects have different behaviors. We'll see. In Java, basically, if all object types are C and act like pointers in C, and all primitive types act like pass by value and act normally like primitive types in C. Another thing is that Java is garbage collected, which means there's a significantly less risk of things like memory leaks. You don't have to bother about freeing things every time, and so that frees up one of the big headaches that you can have when coding. And one of the cool things about Java is that it has this really nice large library that contains things like linked lists and hash tables and things already there for you so that you can just use them and go and get things done. So anyways, we'll be focusing on one part of the library today, and this is the part that this is Aut or Swing that you can use to create windowed applications. So I thought I'd start with a basic demo. So let's see. Well, does anyone have any questions or? Okay, awesome. Wait, oops, wrong one. Okay. Just wait for it to load. You guys tired? You guys seem so silent. I mean, did the quiz take a lot of out of you earlier today?
Yes.
We TFs will be spending like the rest of tonight just sitting all gathering in one big room grading. So if you think you have it bad. Okie dokie. So here we go. Okie dokie. So here we have a basic Windows application. This is just Java code, and what it does is it pops up a window, and we just have Hello World. So going through. I mean, this only takes just like a small bit of, it takes barely any code at all to accomplish. This is one of the things that makes coding this in Java very nice. So looking at the source code here. So the basic way things work in Java is you're using this library, and it's very simple to set up a window system. So as you can see the code here, is this too small?
Or
yes. Okay. Okay. So as you can see the code here, basically the first thing we do is we call on. If you look at the code you see here, it's very familiar. If you know C, this should be very, very familiar to you. It's basically almost the same syntax. So here we're declaring a variable and we're calling this, which is a constructor for a JFrame object, and this has been imported from the Java library. From the statement up at the top here. So you prefix your file with these two lines, you import the library, and then you can use all of the objects that they have for you. So the swing library contains an object called the JFrame, which is just basically a window. And so this is exactly what we're seeing here. The JFrame is this window object. And so we create a so you can see it's very easy. We create a frame, and then we call a function on it, .setTitle, and we give it the title Hello World, which is this title up here. And then we set its size, we set its location on the screen. If you notice, it appeared when I first started it. Let's run it again, right here. It appears 200 pixels from the upper left corner, and so this is what the set location does. And so then basically you go through these two, these two lines say that we should arrange it top down, and so we're basically, the idea is every component like in the swing library that can contain objects and display sub-objects and so on, you can set a certain layout for it, and the layout manager will handle how to lay out the objects for you. And so here, we're getting the content of the JFrame. We call the frame.getContentPane, and then we set its layout to be a layout, a box layout here, and we call .yAxis. And so this sets it up to lay out vertically, and so these two are... So we have this, and then right below it, this. And so you can look all of this up. I'll be releasing the source code to you. I'll be posting the source code online later, so don't worry if this is like a lot to take in, because the library is very large, and there's a lot of different functions you can do. But at the same time, you can get there's a lot of different options available. So here, we create a JLabel, which is this text label right here. And the JLabel is just another object you can create like JFrame that's part of the library. And we can set its text, we can set its font, we create a new font object, and we set it, and font size 50, which is here, and so on. We create the next label in the same way, and then we just add everything, the content pane, which we got earlier, we called its .add function, and then this line right here says, When we close the frame, just exit the program, which is what we want to do. We don't want the program to continually be running in the background even though the window is closed. And then we just make things visible. So basic example, does anyone have any questions? We'll get to some cooler stuff in just a bit. Okay, so at the Java, just like C, Java has an import statement. And so, The question was how to import the Java library. So right here, you just use the import keyword, just similar to as in C. You import, and java.aut.star contains various parts of the graphics and so on. And it basically contains codes for events and the basic graphics. And then the javax.swing is what contains all of the JLabel, JFrame, and the other objects that you can create and add to the windows. And so you import these two libraries, and then you can use them below. Any other questions? Okay, so I guess the hope here is that there's no way I can cover all of the Java library in just this 1 hour and a half. But my hope is that I can basically show you how things work, and then I'll be releasing the source code, and so you can, if you want, you can fiddle with it yourself and maybe perhaps use this as part of your final project if you're doing something that would work for. Okay, so second example. So here we have another window, and it basically does almost the same thing, except we accomplished this in a slightly different way. And so this way will be key when we move on to the other programs. And so the idea here is Java, being an object-oriented language, has an idea called inheritance, where the Java library has declared all of these objects for you, right, that you can use and create like a JFrame. But at the same time, the Java language provides the capability that you can say, I want to define a new type of object. Such that it inherits all the properties of the object in the library, like the JFrame, and yet it has additional capability that you code on. And so here, if you notice, this is the code that displays this window this time. And you notice this time what we're doing is we're not creating a JFrame and calling a bunch of stuff on it to set things up. We're calling a Hello World window, which is a class that we create in another file. And so that file is here. And so for the people who just came in, have either of you coded in Java before, or are you familiar with object-oriented languages, or can you raise your hand? Or okay, so I mean, I apologize. Are all of you already familiar with this stuff? And should I just, because I really don't want to bore you or anything.
It's good reviews, but a lot.
Okay, sure. So basically, the idea is we're defining this new class of objects, and we name this Hello World window, and we're saying it extends from JFrame. And so this is how you accomplish inheritance in Java. And so we're defining this new class of objects, and it has all the properties that JFrame does, except that we add on additional code to do additional things that we want on top of it. And so in this case, we're doing almost the exact same thing. So this line right here is a constructor. So we say public hello world window, and so the constructor has the same name as the class. And so this will get called every time we create a new object of this type. And right here, when we say hello world window is a new hello world window, we are calling the constructor from this line, passing it three parameters, three strings. So here, we define a constructor, and it takes three strings, a title and two pieces of text. And then, just the same, we're setting the title and the location. So if you notice this time, whereas in the previous example, we created a frame and we called frame.setTitle, frame.setSize, frame.setLocation all the time. This time, we are actually writing code for the object that is being created. This code belongs to that object. Whereas in here, we were just writing external code to manipulate things. So here, we actually call set title, set size, set location, because implicitly, this is the object we're manipulating. We're actually writing code that belongs to the window. So, and we set everything up almost exactly as before. Instead of passing in the text, hello world, we pass in whatever text was passed into the constructor here, like the title. We set the title to be that, and so on for the two labels. And so when we run this, we get this window here. Okay. So apologies if that was, if any of you, I really don't want to bore you guys. So let's move on to something more interesting. So, okay. So here's the basic demo of event handling in Java. So we have a bunch of buttons and a few menus. And so notice we can interact with the program, which is always cool. So, right here, the way that this program works is you can see if you click on a button, you get a dialog box. You can click on, you can even minimize the window programmatically, and so it minimizes. And so you can do a lot of cool things with this. And so let's look at how we accomplish this. So we can also exit the program programmatically instead of closing the window. And another dialog box. We can detect a click, and we can also have a button trigger an event. And both of these, in this case, change the color of the window. So, okay. So, as before, here we create a new, here we create a window frame, and that's it. And so, all of the code is in this object that we created. So, we create a window frame here, and We initialize the same similar things as before, but this time notice, so here we're just basically initializing all of the buttons. We create a menu bar, we add menu items and menus to it. We create a left panel here, a new J panel, which is just basically a lightweight object that you can put other objects in and is useful for laying things out. So if you notice, this has a left side and a right side. And so this is one panel right here, and this is another panel right here, and they both contain objects. This one contains two labels. This one contains three buttons. So, and we create everything as before. And then the key differences here, though, is that if you notice this line here, this is one of the lines that is actually setting up the event handling system. So the way it works in Java is all of the different items in the all of the different objects in the library can capture just naturally the way the designers of the language have coded them for you is that they already capture all the basic events, like an object like a window or a label or a button knows when it's been clicked and knows when like a mouse has moved over it and such. And so what you can, the idea is you create an object and you have it be a listener for these events. So here, our JFrame here is implementing an action listener interface, which receives button events and so on, and a mouse listener interface, so it can receive mouse events, and a mouse motion listener, so it can receive events about the movement of the mouse. And so we've defined this window, and now we've set it up so it can receive these events. And so right here in this line, for instance, we're now saying that the buttoner can add this window that we're creating as a listener for action events, which are the button clicks. Does everyone follow this, or do anyone have questions? Okay, so the idea is when you create a class or when you extend a class, you make it implement these interfaces, and so it can receive events of these type. And then for any objects that you want to capture events from, you set the current object, your current window, as the listener. So all of these we're adding listeners, and then right here, the way it works is whenever an action of a certain type is performed, it will call an appropriate function that you define. And so action listener, so the action listener, whenever an action event is received, then a function called action performed will be called. And so you define this function here now, and you put code to handle the event. And so here, you can see just basic code. If the source is the dialogue button, which we created earlier. So we created all of these objects, and now we have variables, handles to them up here. And so here, when we receive an action event, a button click event, we first get the source. So this object is now a handle to the object that sent the event. And so if the source was the dialogue button, then that means this button must have been clicked, so this button here. And so in this case, we call on another class, JOptionPane.showMessageDialog, and it prints out, here's your message. So when we click this, we get a pop-up box. And we continue testing. If the source was the next button down, which I called the color button, then we set the background to a random color, which is another function that's defined below. And so we can have a color change. And similarly, if it was the minimize button that was clicked, so this button right here, then we call setState jframe.iconified. So this is just a function that JFrames have, and this is just a constant value that they define. So if you pass, there are different other values that you can pass in here that will remaximize the window or change different attributes of it. And so if we pass jframe.iconified, then we can minimize the window. So this is just a basic sampling of what you can do. And here, we're also, not only are we catching button events, but menu items also trigger action events. So for instance, if we click on this, the program exits. And so that's accomplished here.
I'm sorry, can you slow
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
Okay.
So that last thing, if you could just repeat that.
So if you click on this, so if you click on this menu item here, for instance, it exits. And so we've added this as an action, this window as an action listener for this menu item, which is done exit item, which is done right here, exit item dot add action listener this. And so whenever it's clicked on, it will call the get, it will call action performed, passing in an event object of what happened. And if we get the source, and if it was this item, then we exit. And then in the other case, if it was the second menu item, then we show another dialog, hi there. So if we run it, hi there. Okie dokie. And so below, I've just defined, this is the function that returns a random color. There are, java.aut contains an object called color, and you just pass it three RGB values, so a new color, an R, G, and a B, and each of these is a random value from 0 through 255. And so this accomplishes the random color change, or here. And so here, we're not just catching button and menu button clicks, we're also catching mouse events. And so the function that's called when, for instance, the mouse is clicked is mouse clicked here. And so we just define this function here, and then if we set up the window to receive mouse events right here, this is something a little bit interesting here. The JFrame itself is already set up to receive these events. It already captures mouse events, but it's the JFrame code, the library code in which they're captured, and so we have to get that R code to notice these somehow. And so we can actually have the JFrame add itself as a mouse listener. So whenever it is clicked on, it will send a mouse event to itself. And in this case, in our code is where we're defining this event here, mouse clicked. And so this will get called. Does everyone follow? Okay. So when the mouse is clicked here, we request focus. I'll talk about what that means in just a little bit. And if the e.getSource, so if the source of the event was the left panel, the left panel of this part, then we set its background to be a random color again. So in this case, if you notice, if we click on it, a mouse event happens and we have a change of color. If we click on this one, nothing happens. So several other events that the mouse listener interface provides, you implement mouse listener as before up here, and so you get several other functions besides just clicking. You can detect when the mouse enters a component. So when it enters the window, for instance, this function will be called. You can detect when it exits the window, and you can detect when the mouse button is pressed or released. And so here I actually have it catching mouse press and release events and updating a label. So whenever the mouse is pressed, it sets the text of this label here that we've defined to be your mouse has been pressed. And so here, if we click right here, it's a little bit small, but if you can see it right here, it's been pressed. And as soon as we release, it now has the text, your mouse has been released. And if you notice right below it, it's also changing with the position of the mouse. So it has the pixel coordinates of the mouse on the screen. And so right here, just similar to how we have the mouse, just the plain mouse events, we also have the mouse motion events, mouse moved and mouse dragged. And these are called, mouse dragged is called whenever you click and hold the mouse and move it around. And mouse moved is called whenever the mouse moves without a button being held. And so whenever the mouse is moved, then we update this label. We get the pixel location of the mouse. So we have a mouse event that contains all the object about what the event and where it happened. And so this event object has two functions called getX and getY. And you can get the mouse position, and then we update the label accordingly. So here. And then, so the other type of event we're capturing is key presses. And so right here, as before, we've implemented the key listener interface along with all the others. And so now our frame can respond to key press events. And so we implement key listener here, and we define we can now define three functions: key pressed, key released, and key typed. And these will get called whenever key is. These will get called whenever a key, even non-alphabetic keys, such as like control or shift, are pressed. You can receive key events for those in these. And whenever a key would be pressed in such a way to actually produce a character on the screen, like in a text editor, then the key typed event will also get called. And so here, whenever the key is typed, as you can see, what we do is we can actually type right here. So I have a third label down here. Whenever the window receives a key event, I just add that character onto the label. So as you can see. And so right here, this code does that. Whenever a key is typed, we get the current text of the label. If it's too long, we shorten it right here. So we take only the last 20 characters and cut off any of the previous. And then we get the current character, we get the character that was pressed from the key event. And we add that onto this text, and then we set the text back. And so this appends a character onto the end. Am I going too fast, or I guess this is, I feel like this is somewhat disorganized. Are you, any of you guys lost or bored, or give me some feedback here. Okay, cool. Okie dokie. And so this is basically event handling in Java. And if you haven't seen this sort of stuff before, this is a lot to take in. I know you can look online. Let me see here. Java actually has a pretty decent documentation. And so you can just Google for it. And right here, you can have they also have tutorials online, and here they have a complete listing of all the classes and the different functions. And so you can see right here, javax.swing, and here there's a list of all the various objects in the swing package. So right here we have JFrame as before, we have various other objects, checkboxes, buttons, dialogues, labels, lists, menus. And so you can look through these or browse the tutorials online if you're wondering how to get something done or what object you should use for something. And so the documentation here is actually very good. Not as great as for some other languages, PHP, but this is actually a very good resource. So anyways, next example. Okie dokie. So here, using events, I've implemented a basic calculator. And so we have just a grid of buttons down here. And if you notice, when you press the buttons, you can enter in values. And we can say divide that by 100. And there we go. And so if you look through and see how this is implemented. So as before, we create a window, and that's it. And the window contains most of the code. And so here, as before, we set up initialize position on the screen, create these objects, and so on. If you notice here, though, nowhere in this part of the code is there anything that actually sets up the grid of buttons. And so if you look carefully right here, what we're actually doing is we have a button panel object, and we're creating a new button panel. And so if you can probably expect the button panel is not something that's actually in the library intrinsically. The Java library doesn't contain a 4x4 grid of buttons with a calculator interface. But we can actually define our own objects as before. And so here we can define a button panel, and we're extending from JPanel. So this JPanel, as I said before, JPanel is just a basic object that can contain things. You can put it inside a window. And so if we're creating a button panel, and so a button panel is just a special type of JPanel that happens to have, you know, a buttons in it. We can put buttons in it and create a calculator interface. So we extend from JPanel, and so here this is this is a static array that contains how the layout should be. And so we initialize things in this function here. So if we walk through it, we figure out how many rows we want and how many columns we want from this data right here that just stores how it should look. And we set out, this time, instead of using a box layout, we use a grid layout. And so there's an object called grid layout, and it takes a number of rows and a number of columns, and how many pixels there should be horizontally and vertically between objects. And we set that as the layout. And now we can just go through and iterate, loop through and add buttons. So here we have a two-dimensional array showing how it should be laid out. So we just loop through for each array, for each element in the array, right here. Right here, we create a new button with that character. So button labels is the array above. And so this button will have, for instance, the first one will have the numbers character 7, because that's the first element in the first array. The first string. And then we add this as an action listener. As similar to before, we've declared this as an action listener. So this JPanel is capable of listening to and responding to the events triggered when the buttons are clicked. So whenever a button is clicked, it will send an event off. And so we're catching these events here. And then we set each button to have an action command. So this data, this will be contained in the action event object, the exact command that the button sends. So this will be, so we've set this to be just the exact string that the button is labeled with. And then we add the button to the panel. And so we do this for each one, and this sets this up. And now, whenever an action occurs, we get the action command that was sent, just the string that the button was labeled with, and we pass that event back to the parent frame. So when the button panel is constructed here, we specify the constructor for the panel here, and it takes in the parent. We've specified that it takes in as a parameter the parent frame that contains it, and so this gives us a way to call back to it. So we store this into a variable, and then now whenever a button's clicked, we can call back to that frame with what action was occurred. And so right here, whenever it receives a certain action, like this will be the label of button, like a plus or a zero, string of a zero or some other number or an equal sign, then we perform this carries out all of the calculator logic, which I won't go through. So in any case, it's a little bit buggy. You can get it to do some non-intuitive things like 9 + 9 + 9 equals. So I did not have time, unfortunately, to actually make all of this work. But this is just a basic example of how you can use events to set up something like this. And so to outline it, the basic idea is you create a JFrame, and you extend from it, and in its constructor, so right here in the window frame's constructor, you set up all of the positioning and the objects you want to be in it. You have your frame or whatever other subcomponents are receiving the events, you have them implement the appropriate interfaces, and then you write the functions that receive those, and so these will get called whenever the events occur, and then you have these functions call the appropriate functions that you write that you want to happen whenever, like, a button is clicked, for instance, updating the label here or computing a sum. Okay. And so here, right here, we perform all the calculator logic, and at the end, we refresh the value, and so this updates the label which we've declared up in the which we've defined up in the constructor with a new value. Okie dokie. So, shall I move on to the next one? You guys look tired. You guys look really, really tired. Okay, So let me know if you do stop me if you have questions or if you feel like I'm going either too slow or too fast or you're confused about some point. Okay, so next one. So this is a program that I wrote a very, very long time ago and cleaned up for the purposes of this demo. The code was absolutely terrible. It's amazing when you look back how at old code you've written, how much better you could do it now. But in any case, this is a program that I wrote a while back, and it displays a pretty background. So you can press Enter again, and it will keep updating the background. As you can see on the bottom, there are various parameters you can set the color step. So if it's very low and you press Enter, there's very little variation. And if you press the right arrow, you can increase it, and you can make it vary a lot more. So I thought this is pretty cool. This is actually the first real graphical non-toy graphical program that I wrote, and you can also change how blurry it is. You can smooth it out, and with up and down arrow keys, and it also catches mouse events. You can click on it, and it will tell you the precise RGB color at that point. So, as well as put a little dot at that location. So clearly here we're doing something in addition to the things previously. Instead of just using pre-built components, we're actually doing our own graphics. And so you can look at how we can accomplish that in the source code here. Okay. So here, we're actually defining a new object. We're defining an object, a display panel, called that extends from JPanel. And so this is our panel that actually contains the colors here. And so the way it works in Java is every component has a paint component function, a paint component method associated with it. And so this is implicitly there. Like JPanel has a paint component function whether you do anything with it or not. But you can actually override it by declaring it in your code when you extend from it and put your own code in for how to draw it. And so the standard practice is JPanel itself might need to do certain things, or the whatever object you're extending might have certain ways to draw itself. So just as standard practice, you call super.paintComponent. And so when you override, so this makes sure that, so what this does is it calls the JPanel's paint component function. Basically, the way this works is we're inheriting from JPanel, so we have all those functions. So this function already exists, paint component. But when we define it here again in our own code, then we're actually overriding it so that our function and not the JPanel's function will get called whenever it needs to be repainted. Unfortunately, we would actually like the original code just as good practice to also be executed, because, like, for instance, if this were a JFrame, then the original code would also be doing things like drawing the outline of the window and things like that, things we shouldn't be messing with. So we call super here is a keyword to access the object that we're inheriting from, and we call its paint component function to make sure that gets called as well. And then below it, we have all of our own code. And so here, my B is actually a background object that we've created, yet another class we've defined, and this contains all of the nice rainbowy hues and colors and stuff. And so, we'll look at this in a bit. It also has its own paint component function that draws everything appropriately. And then below here, we have code to print out this little thing, this little bar on the bottom. And so, when the paint component is called, it's passed a graphics object. And so this graphics object, you can call various objects on this object, various functions on this object G. It has functions for drawing lines and drawing text and images and polygons and various things. And so here, we're calling functions on it, and these will get reflected in the window. And so we're setting the draw color to be here, white, g.setColor, color.white. And then we're drawing a rectangle. Pixel coordinates of the upper left corner, x and y, and then the width and the height of the rectangle. And then we're filling that exact same rectangle. And so what we're doing here is we're drawing a white rectangle here and we're filling it. And then afterwards, we draw somewhat more transparently an appropriate color on top of it. So here we're creating a new color with a certain RG and B based on what color the background has right there. So if you notice, whatever color's at the bottom line right here is what the bar is lightly shaded with. So like, so for instance, here it's slightly purple, here it's slightly cyan, and so what we're doing here is we're taking that color and we're giving it a certain transparency value, and then we're drawing that on top, drawing and filling the exact same rectangle, and so that gets the bottom rectangle. And then we set the color to be black, a new color RGB are all, a new color RG and B are all zero, and then we create a new font object, and we have it just plain style, not and size 16, and we set that as the font of the graphics object, and then we can start drawing text. So g.drawstring, color step, smoothness, and we're passing in the values as currently stored in the program. So here, when we have this, so that produces the text at the bottom of the screen, and when we change these values, it updates those. Okay. So if you look at the code is a little bit messy here, but if we look at the MyBPaint component, how we're actually drawing all of these shades of color, then what's going on here is this is a new object that we've defined called the background object, and it just stores a large array of colors and various properties about how quickly they should change and how large it is. And then it has various functions for changing these properties. It has another function, it has this function here that gets the color at a certain coordinate based on just it looks up into the appropriate arrays and so on. And then it has a randomize function that we've been calling, which I'll show you in a bit, that re-randomizes all of the colors. It refills all of the arrays randomly with new values. And so if we look at how it's painting itself, when we call paint component on it, then it takes in the graphics object, and depending on whether it should draw horizontally or vertically, it iterates through all the colors, and appropriately, it draws lines across. So g.drawLine is another function that the graphics object has, and so essentially what we're doing is we have a large one-dimensional array of colors, and for every color in that array, we increment pixel by pixel and draw a line of the appropriate color. So we can also change this to be vertical. And so now it's hitting the other branch and going through the other for loop right here. And so as before, it's for draw line, it's xy of the first point and then xy of the second point. So for instance, the x is going, so it's going to be xi comma 0, so it's going to have a y coordinate of 0 and be somewhere around here. So that's like, for instance, here, that's our first point. Oh, so for instance, I comma 0 like might be here if I is say about 100, and then the second point right here is going to be I comma my y size, which is the current vertical height, and so that would be right here, and so we're drawing a line from top to bottom. Okay, and so just as before, we have all of the event handling set up. We have it in the constructor here. We have a window frame object as before that implements a key listener, and it's added itself as a key to receive key events. Right here we're calling request focus, so that this says when this object is, after this object is constructed, it requests focus such that it can actually receive the key events. Like if you notice when you work with graphical programs, like whether in a browser or anywhere else, like if you click on a text field and you start typing, none of the other text fields start suddenly receiving text, only the text field that's been selected. So we say that that text field has focus. And so you can also have windows and such receive focus. Like if I click on this window here, this has focus. If I now open my browser, this has focus, and anything I type, this program won't receive. And so what we need to do here is, if we want the window to receive key events, we need to make sure it actually is focused when after the program loads up. And so it requests the focus. And here, whenever a key event is pressed, as just as before, we have a key pressed function. and it's receiving key events, and based on what the key is, what the key was pressed, the event has an e.getKeyCode function, and we can check whether it was enter that was pressed or left, the left arrow or the right arrow, and so on. And we change various properties. Like if enter was pressed, if the key code is keyEvent.vkEnter, then we randomize. And so right here, we call the randomize function on our display, and so it re-randomizes all of the colors, and so on. And if the key for key release and key typed events, we don't do anything. Okay, so this is basically how this program was laid out. Let's see, how much time do you... Okay, so let's move onward. So one other thing I want to get to is how you can actually get these programs to, like, if you're familiar with Java, you'll know that you can often have Java applets in a browser that a user can access through their browser. If with Java, you can also create downloadable programs such that the user can, like, say, download and double-click and have something run. And so another thing that I want to cover is how you actually accomplish that, how you create executable programs and how you upload them onto the web and have them run as applets. And so the way this works, so the sixth demo I have here is that of an applet. And so the way this works in code, first of all, we'll see how to set up the website of it in just a bit. The way this works in code is the Java library, just like JFrame and JLabel, it also contains an object called JApplet. And so if you want to make your program run as an applet, you extend from this. And this object behaves a lot like a window. It just happens to be in a browser. And so you can do all the same things as before. You implement these interfaces for catching events. You can create objects in it as normal. You can create buttons and so on. In this case, what this program does here, let's go online now and see actually what the program does. Okay, opening up Firefox. Okay. So here, it looks like an image, but this is actually a Java applet. You can click on it and draw various things. If you right-click, it creates little red triangles with a blue outline. So, and behind it, it displays an image. So this is actually a Java applet. And so, it doesn't actually have any graphical components, but we are doing various things to paint this. So, the way it works is the Java applet has four functions that you need to be concerned with when you're creating one. The first one is called init. So when you extend from JApplet, you override the init function and here you put all of your code that should happen whenever things are loaded. So in this case, what we do when this applet is loaded is we load in the background, the initial background image, this reflective fractal image in here in the background. And so we load that right here. Image img equals get image. We pass it get code base, which is the initial file path where the code is. And in the same file, we have an image, image.png. And so we load that. And then we initialize everything else. So when the applet is loaded, we also need this background to be able to draw on. And so instead of just having an image floating around. And so one of the things is the image objects don't actually allow you to access their physical properties and modify their values, because Java has the idea that, you know, some images may be in different formats. Like if an image is stored in a vector format, or if it requires you going through like a URL to access it, then you might not actually have direct access to all the pixel data and be able to manipulate it directly. And so what we do here is we create our own buffered image. And so this actually is an object, buffered image, that actually allows us to access pixel data and change things. And so we use this to draw on it. And so what this does here is we get the graphics of this image. So this is the same type of graphics object we've been seeing earlier in paint component graphics G. And so an image, we can also grab the graphics from it. And now we can have, this is an empty image we've created, and now we have it draw on top of itself the previous image that we've loaded. So this effectively copies one image to the other. And then we dispose of the graphics object. And then we also set up the listeners here. So does everyone follow how this works? Okay. So there's the second function you need to be concerned with when an applet loads is called start. And this actually is a signal. This will get called whenever the applet should start running. In this case, we're actually not doing anything. We don't actually have anything in this function because we don't need to do anything. What you might put in the start function is, say, if you were writing a game that needs to, say, start some animation, like after it's loaded everything, it needs to start animating something, or like things need to start moving because, you know, like it's an interactive game, then you would put code, you would put the running code, actual code to run it in here. So in this case, we actually don't need to do anything because all we're waiting for is waiting for the user clicks. So these events, and these will happen through the mouse clicked events anyway, and so we don't actually need anything in start. The corresponding function to start is stop, and this will get called whenever for instance, if the window is minimized or the user switches to another application, then stop will get called. And so you might use this to, say, stop an animation or something, so that if the user tabs away from the browser window, you don't actually have things continuing to go on. And then there's one more function called destroy, which I don't have here, that is called, for instance, whenever like the browser is closed or the user leaves the page. And this function you put in all of your code if necessary to deallocate or clean up anything that you need to. Okay. So to draw in an applet, you override a function called paint, and paint is just similar to paint component. It takes a graphics object. And so in this case, all we're doing is we're drawing the image, the background, our buffered image. And so here, as before, we're catching mouse click events. And so the way we actually accomplish drawing is that we have this image background image that we're storing, and this is the image that we're drawing into. And every time like a click happens, we draw into that image, like say a green circle or something, and then that image gets painted onto the screen. So this contains at all times what the applet screen actually looks like. And so here, just as before, on mouse click events, we get the graphics off of our canvas, our buffered image, and then we get the coordinates of the mouse click, and we do various things with filling polygons and setting colors. So just like here, we created a little triangle, and so that's what this code does right here. We set the color to be red, we draw a polygon with certain coordinates, and we set the color to blue, and then we fill that polygon up, or other way around. We fill the polygon, and then we set the color to be blue, and we draw it, and then we dispose of the graphics object we got, and we call this function called repaint here, and this is a function that the JApplet has. And when you call it, it just repaints everything. And so somewhere down the line, repaint will call paint, which will call your drawing code. So whenever a mouse is clicked, then we call repaint to indicate that this applet needs to be refreshed. And right here, when the mouse is dragged, we do a similar thing, except this time we set the color to be green and draw and fill an oval. So anyways, this actually isn't a whole lot of code. Like this is just one file with just a few lines here, just a few functions. And so one of the cool things about Java is that you can accomplish like non-trivial tasks like this, like setting up and loading an image and then drawing on it and having an interactive interface in a very small amount of code. And so this is one of the things that makes it nice. Did you have a question? Okay. We've seen how you can set the programmatic side of the applet up. And so the question is, how do you actually get this to view display in like a browser, for instance? And so it's actually very simple. So what you do is, like, we can go ahead and view the source of this page. And so if any of you know HTML, it's all you need is an applet tag right here. And so you specify code equals an applet main.class. And so this is the compiled .class files are the compiled versions of .java files, just like you have, like, say, for instance, an object file compared to a .c file. And so right here, the IDE is actually doing it all for me. But right here, if you look at the source, we actually, for every .java file that actually contains the code, we have a compiled .class file here. And so this is the file that actually contains all the code that the Java virtual machine runs off of. And so all you need is for this to be in the same directory, or you can have it in a subdirectory, and then you call code equals applet main.class. In this case, it's in a subdirectory of directory called drawing. So, and we call code base equals drawing, and then we specify the width and the height that the applet should be, and that's it. So, let's see. So we can actually take a look here. Let me log on. So here is where the file for the applet, the HTML page is. So as we said, this is all that it is. Here's the HTML that this, here's this HTML right here. And then, so right here, this file on this is on the cloud, and this is actually contains the HTML file that contains the applet tag. And then right here, as I mentioned, we have a drawing subdirectory, and this actually contains the class file that we're running and the image, and that's all you need. And so you can also set up Java programs to run like an executable, so that they don't have to be run on the web and through an applet. And so the way you do that is you can create a file with a .jar extension. And so Java executables end with a .jar extension, which stands for Java Archive. And so what a jar file is, like for instance, this is a jar file right here that I compiled, background.jar, and if we double click on it, then this actually has the program we have earlier, but this is not running in the IDE, this is just running on its own. And so a jar file is really just a glorified zip file. And so jar file and a zip file are exactly the same. We can literally go and rename this and open it up as a zip file, and we can see here and here we have the exact same .compiled.class files that are running it. And there's just one special thing that we need to make a jar file executable, and this is a directory that we call meta-inf. Don't ask me why they chose to set up this way. But the idea is you put inside this directory a manifest file, and this is just a text file that contains the following lines. And right here you put main class, and you tell it what class file you want it to run, what class contains the main function that actually begins the program. So in this case, for our colorful background program, it's the driver class, which contains the main function, creates the window that gets everything started. And so right here in our manifest file, we just put main class colon driver, and that's it. And so by putting this together with our other class files and into a zip file, and then you can just go ahead and rename it .jar, you create an executable file that Java will run your program from. So I thought this is another way to get your programs working. So as long as the other person is Java and the Java setup on their computer, they'll be able to just double click and run it. Okay, so we have 15 minutes left. So in the time remaining, I thought I would just go over and look at some of the random things you can accomplish with Java. There's some pretty cool things you can do. So here are several projects that I wrote a while back. I have a particle simulator, which I thought it was pretty interesting. And so here, it's actually animated, and it just creates random particles and explosions. And so this is all done through Swing. This is done through a JPanel using graphics, by overriding Paint component and using the various graphics functions to draw things. And right here, we can change various properties and make it do different things. We can make things, say, like that. And so I won't go too much into the code because there's a lot of it to actually accomplish all of this. But this is all of this is one an example of one of the things you can accomplish in Java, and it's just you can do it all directly from what I've covered today. Just the same basic things. You set up event listeners for handling things like these button clicks. This is a separate little dialog. This is a J dialog, which is like a sub window. And you have buttons, and you can change various properties. And then you have code running in the background that actually animates things. And so another cool project is, I think at least one person is actually doing this as their final project. I implemented Minesweeper in Java a while back. And this is also directly through Swing and Ott. And so when you click on the buttons, it reveals various squares and sets them to draw in different ways, to draw the actual numbers and so on. And you can right-click and place a little 9. And so right here, you can see there's some code running in the background that continuously increments a time right here. For how you actually get something to run continually in the background while you can still accept user input, basically the idea is there is a you can look it up in the Java library. There's an object called a timer that will just send out that will call a function that you tell it to it like in a periodic interval, like say every tenth of a second it will call a function if you set it that way. And so you can time events like that. In this case, every tenth of a second, I'm calling a function that increments the little time counter in the corner by 0.1. And then if you die, then it stops that. So you can also this is very easy. The grid itself is just an array of buttons, and all of them have action events set. And whenever those actions, and so depending on those actions, I change how they draw themselves, change what color they are, and change them to contain a number or not. And so you can implement Minesweeper. And of course you have different sizes of boards and stuff. And so another program is, another example of what you can accomplish in Java with these basic tools is, let's see here, we have a fluid simulator, which is 300. So here, it's quite slow, but you can actually, this is something that I coded like way back, like a few months ago. And I thought this was pretty cool. So this is, again, just a window with a timer running in the background, sending off periodic events. And every time that happens, there's a giant array of like fluid velocities and stuff. And I just apply various formulas to it that I pulled off from online. And then I convert all of this into a color array. And I iterate through that array. And I draw the appropriate pixels on the screen through paint components. And here we go. And so you can change the colors around. So and another example is of what you can do is, for instance, you can I think there are also a few people doing projects like this, but you can, for instance, implement like a game. And so again, here we have a panel receiving mouse clicks, so we can pick which pieces to move. It receives a mouse click, and then based on the XY coordinates of the click, will change how it draws to highlight a certain piece. It receives mouse motion events and gets their XY coordinates, just as we've seen before. So if it's over a certain location, we can draw a little highlight. And then if you click on a different location afterwards, it can do a piece. And the animation is done completely through Ott. There aren't even any images involved here. And so this is just g.drawOval right here. And then when a piece is moved, that flipping right there, it's just a repeated drawOval, draw a slightly different oval, draw a slightly different oval here in a loop that runs on a certain timer. So, and then you have the game logic here. So anyways, this is a basic sampling of what you can accomplish in Java using these. And so this is basically it. So, I mean, do you have any questions or? So, yes?
How would you draw like an irregular polygon rather than just a circle or a square?
To draw an irregular polygon, what you can do is we can look this up. There's a function called draw polygon. Actually, I'm using this right here. Let's see, graphics. right here. So graphics objects have a draw polygon and a fill polygon object, and what they take is an array of x coordinates, an array of y coordinates, and the number of points. So in this case, I initialized two arrays up here to contain various x coordinates, and then right for y, similarly to the y coordinates, these define a triangle, and then I call fill polygon with, for instance, 3 points right here. And so it will draw the polygon then. So I can actually change these if you, so like for instance, if we change this to say minus 50 here, and then let's upload this. So let's see, navigate right here, number 6. And we can copy this over to the cloud. Yes. Okay. Firefox has this unfortunate thing where it actually caches all the caches applets or something. I tried actually clearing the cache, but it didn't seem to get rid of it. So, but if you close the browser and reload it again, then you can see the changes. So let's see here. Yeah, it's a different shape now. We moved the upper left corner 30 additional pixels to the left, because before it was minus 20, now it's minus 50. So you can draw any sort of polygon you want here, including non-convex polygons. You just specify the coordinates in either a clockwise or a counterclockwise order, and whatever polygon you want, you can do. I believe you can also do curved lines. There are some functions that will allow you to do that. You can look in the Java library. Like, there are functions for drawing polylines and arcs and so on. So there's a lot of stuff there. Now, I will be the first to admit that the graphics library in Java is a little bit clunky to actually get a whole lot of, like, if you're doing simple things like drawing polygons and uniformly shaded triangles and stuff, then Java can definitely do that. But if you want, like, to actually get, like, neat effects, like if you want like various types of like blending, and you want to get like draw a realistic scene with lots of different details and stuff, the Java library actually isn't very good at doing that, because you'll end up needing a lot of these function calls. And generally speaking, you can only get like triangles and stuff of uniform colors. So if you're actually doing a realistic image where every pixel is slightly different, then you actually end up having to make a function call for every single pixel, and it's very slow. And so this is one of the reasons why the fluid simulator I showed you was running so slowly, because it has to do all of that. So Java is actually not the best thing to get things like that done, to get, like, for instance, like writing a real video game. This is not something that Java is very good at. But Java is very, very good at writing basic mini applications and things like that, like the programs I showed earlier. Minesweeper is a great example, because there's not a whole lot of graphical complexity, and the Java provides you the buttons and the windowing and the interfaces and the events so that you can set all of that up very easily. Okay, so unless any of you have any further questions, this is about it. Yay. Okay, so I'll be emailing around source code and various cheat sheets of functions so that you don't actually have to scan through a few hundred pages of Java docs to find all of this. Okay. Yay.